Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
Well, I hope your thoughts aren't on going to have lunch because we got some exciting things to talk about. We really do. And in that, you know, just the thought today that he has risen from the dead fills my heart with such joy. And I hope it fills your heart with joy today that he's risen from the tomb and he's defeated death, hell, and the grave. And there's no better thing to say than that. You know, I love a good victory and I love a good fight, but I'll tell you what, when someone is triumphed, not just what he's triumphed over the evil one. We have so much to be grateful for. But you know, we just don't celebrate a past event. Because although this is a historical event that was witnessed by over 500 people, that's like putting an exclamation point on this event. When you have 500 witnesses, in Hebrew law, it just took two males to be a witness, to agree and see an event, to make it so. So we've had more than 500. So it's a historical event that we celebrate, but it's also, we're celebrating a life that's being offered to us right now to live in the here and in the now. So yes, it's a glorious event, but this event just keeps giving and giving because this glorious event is enabling us to live a lifestyle in the power of the resurrection reality, in the here and now. So a power that goes from death to life, resurrects our life, and that same power that demolished sin and crushed Satan is the power that is resident in you and me. Think about that. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. But the question is, do you believe that? Or I guess another question is that activated in your life? Is that power on display in your life so that wherever you go, the enemy trembles? And in that, this question was asked to Martha. In John 11, turn with me there, John 11, verse 21 and 26. This story you're familiar with. Lazarus passes away, and Martha and Mary are grieved and because Jesus was delaying in his coming back. And in that, in the delay, all of a sudden, Martha approaches Jesus and said, "Yes, I believe that he will rise, everyone else rises at the last day," because he asked her, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" And Jesus told her, and he looks at her and he says, "Listen, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." And then he says this, "Do you believe this, Martha?" So we ask ourselves the question today on this Resurrection Sunday, do we believe that the resurrection power of Christ now dwells within us? So let's look at Matthew verse 28, verses 1 through 10. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go and quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there and remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb, and they were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." This glorious day on Easter Sunday, you know, Christians all over the world are celebrating this historical fact that Jesus rose from the grave. Because without the resurrection, Christianity would not exist. But on that day, 2,000 years ago, it was Satan's worst day. When Jesus came out of the tomb, it was the greatest demonstration of God's power that the world has ever seen. And God didn't just win a battle. He dethroned the devil. He stripped him of all of his power. And when Jesus came out of the grave in resurrection power, hell witnessed the greatest surprise, the greatest breakthrough, the greatest comeback, the greatest victory that the world has ever, ever seen. And the devil heard these words. Just imagine this. Jesus stands before him and he says, "You have something that I want. Give me the keys. Give me the keys of death, hell, and the grave." And he had to release them because he was defeated. And he snatched those keys. And at that very moment, he paraded the devil in his defeat. And he was conquered and defeated. And he paraded behind him all of his cronies. So it was a spectacle in hell of the utmost, where Jesus, when he grabbed the keys of death, hell, and the grave, he then made a public display of him. He conquered him. He triumphed over him. This whole episode, this whole event, was the king's gambit. You know, God is always a move after a move after a move ahead of the enemy. Does anyone play chess here? I bet you're good at it too. Well, I wish I was a chess player because I play it, but I'm not real good in chess. But there's a term that's used in the game of chess, and it's called gambit. In chess, both players start with an equal number of pieces, and they're all the same. There are kings, queens, knights, rooks, bishops, and pawns. And the goal is to trap the king until he cannot move, right? All right. So this is called checkmate, when you stop the king. And a gambit is a rare chess move only used by chess masters. And it involves making several moves that almost give the other player the advantage for the moment. And it almost appears that even some of the moves are being made as a mistake. And actually, a player can lose a couple of pieces. So in the natural, it looks like game over. The master player's king begins to make a move. And God allowed Jesus to actually look vulnerable, as if he was to be defeated. But it was a strategy of moves God was making to surprise the devil. In actuality, the chessboard is being strategically rearranged for a sudden surprise. The chess master will spring, and the surprise gambit may be 15 moves ahead of the final move leading to checkmate. So it's always a strategy of moving ahead, always being aware of the next move. By the time the opponent realizes what's happening, it's too late for him to recover. He's trapped. Game over. And this is what happened to the devil. By the time he realized what was happening, it was too late for him to recover. And he had no more moves. He was defeated once and for all. And God slapped his hand down on the table and he declared, checkmate. You've been checkmate, baby. So at that moment in checkmate, he had to hand over the keys. He had to hand them over. And in that, Colossians 2:15 says this, in this way, he disarmed all the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He disarmed every power that could take a stand against you and me. I don't think we could even fathom the enormous power of Christ's resurrection. When he finished business down in the pits of it, when he finished it all, it was time to go home. And when it was time to go home, nothing was going to hold him back. I mean, he came out of the grave like a rocket coming off a launch pad 1,000 times more than what NASA would ever experience. He came off that launch pad in resurrection power, so powerful that the tombs of people that were dead in Jerusalem popped out of the graves and they go walking about. And it's like, I mean, people were like, Uncle Willie, what are you doing here? I mean, it was so powerful that you got to realize these tombs in Jerusalem aren't these little, you know, kind of tombs we have here where we got a tombstone and then you have there that they're blocks, they're rocks, and they got big slabs on top of them and they're very heavy. So we're talking about a lot of slabs that are popping. They're just popping all over Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, everybody's walking around in Jerusalem. I mean, everybody's like, what's the party? This is incredible. We got a family reunion. So Matthew 27, verse 52 says this, the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. And they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many. What a party. And this same power that popped the lid off many of these rock graves is the same power that lives in you and me. That's a whole lot of power. I want you just to let your mind sink upon that reality. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Amen. That is a good amen. Amen. Romans 8:11 says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies, and by this same Spirit living within you. So the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake up, lives in you, lives in me. Ephesians 1, 19 through 21 says this, I also pray that you will understand. Paul's praying this to the church at Ephesus. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. So Paul is praying, I pray that you will come to understand this incredible, great resurrection power that dwells within you. Let it become a reality in your life. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was really a part of the whole plan of redemption. What Adam gave over to Satan in the Garden of Eden by disobedience was taken back by one perfect man's obedience. God reclaimed the blessing that was stolen in the garden, and he got his family back together. He got them all back together, grafted into one big family, and he gave us back the dominion and the authority that rightfully belonged to us as children. He gave us back the authority because Jesus said, in his ascension, he said, now all authority has been given unto me. And now he says, and I give you my authority now. So the same authority that Jesus had to strip the evil one of all of his power, he's saying, now I'm giving you that same authority, that same power. So, but what we do is we celebrate today in a glorious way. But in some ways, we stop at the cross. And we're not taking full advantage of all that Jesus provided for us. But I believe today that God wants us to start walking in the power of the resurrection every day. It is not to be just today. It is to be tomorrow. The resurrection power faces your situations tomorrow. His power will face the dilemma, the challenges that you're having in your body. The resurrection power will face the challenges that you're having in your family. The power of the resurrection is going to face your finances. Where there was lack, now there's going to be an abundance. You're going to see the resurrection power at work in every facet of your life. But to activate the resurrection power inside of you, you've got to know it, believe it, and receive it. So Philippians 3:10 says this, I want to know. Paul says, I want to know. I don't want to just have a head knowledge of it. I want to experience it fully on the inside of me. I want to know Christ and to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. So let's keep it real simple. There's no Christianity without the cross and the resurrection. We got to have both. We're saved to the uttermost, but we're also filled with resurrection power to go forth. It is the core of everything that we believe. Receive and experience in this earth and after. I think every Christian believes in this glorious day. But operating in the fruit of it in everyday life is another story. When you're facing challenges, doubts, unbeliefs, struggles, situations that are going on. Everything we face, He's given what we need to deal with it. He's given us everything that we need. I don't care what you've walked through, how hard it is, whatever the struggle is, resurrection power inside of you is available to take care of it. But do you believe that? Are you walking in that? Is your life a testimony of this glorious victory? Are people seeing God's power demonstrated in and through your life in every capacity? We've got to allow our hearts to be stirred up. Like, stir up your most holy faith. Stir it up and believe big so that we can see God's power move. But resurrection power doesn't come from heaven. You know why? Because it's in you right now. It's in you now. It's not like something you gotta feel it. I got the power. It's coming on me. No, it's already in you. It abides in you. But you have to activate it. But you know what? When you activate it, it removes burdens. It destroys yokes, heaviness. It destroys it. The resurrection power of God is the most powerful force in the universe. Yet it has no power in your life until you activate it. Plug it in. Stick it in the socket. Let it activate your body. Let your body just shake under the power of the Most High. So how do you do this? I think there's three simple steps. First one is this. Believe it. Do you believe? Being born again won't cause resurrection power to automatically operate in your life. You have to choose to believe it. Yes, you've been saved. But yes, there is a power resident in you. And you have to activate it. And belief is what turns the switch on. It's in you. You know, when Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe?" He was simply getting to that point of unbelief in her. He was saying, "Martha, I am the resurrection. I am. It's not an event. It's who I am." So to access this, of all the benefits, healing, abundance, joy, and every good thing, you must put the same belief and faith into action. So every yoke is destroyed. Every yoke is destroyed under the resurrection power of Jesus. The blessing is released. So believe it. Believe in it with all of your heart. Even, you know, I think we get into the feeling realm. Well, I don't feel the power. Well, do we walk by faith or do we walk by feeling? We walk by faith and we believe that God's got your back and His power is right now available for the moment that you are facing that is very difficult. So you must believe. Number two, you're to speak it. When you believe that resurrection power is residing in you, you begin to activate it through your words. You speak faith-filled words to release the power. You got to speak faith into the situation. Mark 11:23 says this, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen." Do you see what is happening there? Whatever you say and you believe that it's going to happen, it will be granted to you. So when you say it out loud in faith, you activate it. It's like you're putting it in motion in your own personal life. You don't walk around saying, "I just feel so powerless." I mean, those words are just short-circuiting the very source of power that is for you. You have all power, even though you might not feel like it. I know there's times you feel like, wow, you just got knocked down, you got the wind knocked out of you. But the resurrection power is available to help you rise up in any moment to confront a situation. Resurrection power is coming out of God from His Word. It's when He spoke His Word into creation, things happened. The universe was created. The galaxies were made. He spoke the Word and it created. So when we speak the Word in faith over our lives, it activates the resurrection power to be released in our lives personally. Number three, you must enforce it. Make no mistake, Satan's defeat was sealed by the resurrection. But we have to enforce it or act on it to keep it activated in our midst. So the reality is, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, yes, is now living within us. And God raised us up together and He made us sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Satan is defeated, but when he tries to bring the curse back on you, when he tries to bring the oppression back on you, when he tries to bring the sickness back on you, he's trespassing. Because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God dwells within you. You have the authority to make him leave. So when it tries to come on you, you say, uh-uh, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now act on it. Begin to declare, no, you have no place here. If he bore it, I don't have it. So go with your silly stuff. It is basically activating and telling him, but you have to enforce it. You have to stand your ground. Do you know that the enemy at times will taunt you? He comes up to you and he goes, do you really believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. But he taunts you. He taunts you. And he wants to see what you're made of. He wants to see, do you really got the stuff on the inside of you? And he will push you around, bully you, and try to get you to come under fear, and then to doubt, and then unbelief. And then guess what? The very thing that he wants to put upon you is beginning to manifest. So the reality is, there'll be times when he will test you, and that's when you need to stand your ground and enforce it. And say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you stand your ground, covered in the blood, in full faith, knowing that the weapons of our warfare are mighty for the pulling down of all strongholds. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we shall condemn. When you execute in faith and enforce it with the Word of God, it is activating resurrection power. And guess, if there's two of us in the room, and it's me and Satan, guess who's got to leave? It ain't me. I'm in the authority. And he's not. He's got to flee. And you know what? He flees because of the name of Jesus. Because every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and declare he's Lord. So in that, we are the enforcers. You know, we are God's superheroes on this earth. And there's no better superhero than an enforcer. We got all the power, all the authority that's been given to us by Jesus. And in that, it is an honor to declare the victory continually over all of our lives and over all of our family because of the glorious name of Jesus. His name. His name is everything. In His name is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. In His name is Shalom, peace. In His name is Jehovah Sidkenu, our righteousness. In His name is Jehovah Shammah, our ever-present one. In His name is glorious. His name is everything. And that name, the name above all names, when we declare the name, God's word, to every situation in your life, when sickness tries to come, you declare His name in the name of Jesus. I declare that by the stripes on His back, I'm healed. It's the name and the word. You enforce it with faith. And that releases supernatural resurrection power in your life. That will change everything about you. The word is alive. So don't ever accept defeat. Jesus paid too high of a price for us to accept anything less than total and complete victory. So don't ever succumb to defeat. You're not defeated. You might have got knocked down. Well, get back up. You know, the righteous, it says the righteous will fall 7 times. But what is the good thing about it? Is that they get back up. So are you going to get back up, or are you going to stay in the mud? Get up and ride. You were born to ride with Jesus. You know, I can't wait to have a good horseback ride with Him. I'm telling you, can you imagine? I'm behind, he's on his white horse, and I'm on my horse, and I'm like, that's my boy, that's him. I'm like, come on, I can't wait to go riding one day. But you know what? The enemy wants you to stay in the fallen state of feeling defeated. And that's a hopeless place. Because Corrie Ten Boom says, no pit is so deep that Jesus is not deeper still. Even in your darkest moments, the best is yet to come. I mean, spoken from one that was in many concentration camps and faced horror that most of us would never see, Corrie Ten Boom said, no pit is so deep that Jesus is not deeper still. So in that declares, that means that I don't care how low you are, how bad you feel, wherever you are, Jesus can come right up under you and can lift you up. Because as David said, he hides me in a tabernacle, and He puts me on a rock, and He raises me up above my enemy. So how do you enforce things? Well, you got to realize you got the high ground. You're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of the resurrection power. It says that while you were dead in your trespasses and sin, Christ raised you up and seated you in heavenly places with Him in Christ Jesus. You are reigning and ruling with Christ in the Spirit. So guess who's under you in the second heaven? The evil one. You're far above all rule, power, and authority. So therefore, when you're looking upon the situation, you have all authority at that moment. Everything you're dealing with, you have the authority to deal with it according to God's word. And the enemy has to obey. Why? Because he obeys authority. And you've been given all the authority. So when you wake up every day, remember, you're seated with Jesus in high places, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And therefore, when you step into your day, you're not wondering if I hope the power's here for me today. You're going into your day realizing, I'm going to see it manifest everywhere, all around me, wherever I go. Number two, live the healed life, the sozo life, where life is flowing in your body and it is touching every aspect of you. Romans 8:11 says this, But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Imagine that. If the same power is in your body right now, do you think that sickness or disease, no matter how bad, could even stand a chance against the resurrection power? And number two, that disease or sickness has been paid for on the cross. He bore it all. Why? So you don't have to have it. And He bore it on His stripes, on His back. So whatever you're going through in your body today, put the resurrection power to work through His name and through His word. Jesus died so that you could live and live a life abundantly here on this earth. And there's nothing that can match the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of the resurrected King. There's nothing on this earth. So our part is to resist everything that tries to come on us that Jesus already bore for us on the cross. That's our job. That's our mandate. That's what we're required to do. He bore our sin. So we resist sin or the temptation of it. He bore our sickness and disease. So we resist sickness and disease. Instead of being tempted to just lay down and put up with it, we resist it in our faith, in our most holy faith upon His word. You know, I believe the Lord wants to put some chutzpah in some of you today. He wants your backbone to be a backbone of steel. He wants you to be able to stand firm in the word, knowing that you're the head and not the tail. Some of you have been allowing the tail to wag the dog. The head is the head. You're in charge. You're in authority in Jesus' name. So rise up and take your rightful place. Number three, live free from the past with the resurrection power. John 8:36 says this, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free indeed." The resurrection power frees you from the bondage of sin and from your past. Hallelujah. Gosh, I am so glad of that. There are some chapters in our lives, you're like, well, I just want to tear that chapter out. I don't like that one. Well, the good news is that you get to forget about it. You get to let it go. And that's a part of the resurrection power. Your part in Christ's crucifixion and His suffering, and what you must do to walk in this resurrection power, is to forget those things that are behind you and reach forward. Go forward to what is ahead for you. Isn't that good news? That you get to forget about the past, even all the mistakes and even all the failures. You get to forget about it, and you get to go forward with a new mindset and a new day. Because why? Because you've been given new life. There's new life dwelling within you. You are a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. So don't keep kicking yourself thinking, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I don't think anybody can ever forgive me for that. Well, I got good news. You're not that same person anymore. The old man is gone. The old man is new. You're a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus, where old things have passed away. Romans 6:4 says this, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Even so we also walk in newness of life." Zoe life. It's a new life. It's a good life. It's a life that is ever recreating it on the inside of you. It's a life that's always growing on the inside of you. It's a life that's permeating within you. This life is a life that lives and moves and has its being in Jesus. It's a new life on the inside of you. But do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in the resurrection power dwelling within you? The scripture says this. Why everything hinges on the power of the resurrection of Jesus? Is it because it is the means for which we are saved? This glorious event that has taken place, where Christ was raised from the dead, it is imperative that we believe it with all of our heart. For that is the means for anyone to be saved, is to believe in the resurrection. It says in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, and saved to the uttermost for eternity. But the belief of the resurrection is crucial for our salvation. Understanding this glorious event that we celebrate today is everything that we stand on and believe that is true, that causes a man to be born again, born from above, given a new life. You know, nobody just drifts into heaven. You just don't get there by stumbling upon it, by being a good person. You get there by believing that God gave up his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The reality is that everything hinged on the resurrection for our own salvation. And that being that it is out of our heart of believing his word. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe that his Father raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. Who believes that? Who believes that? I got good news. You're saved. You're saved. It's that simple. You're saved. But I want to ask you another question. Are you Christ? Is your life his? Do you belong to Jesus? This is the question I had to ask my father, because my dad said with his mind, yeah, you know, I believe in God. I have a mental understanding of it, and I believe it. But I said, Dad, the issue is you've not given your heart fully to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You've not surrendered your will to him. And in that, it is imperative that you surrender your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ so that you belong to him. You're his. Everything about you is his. So if you're not sure that you belong unreservedly to Jesus, but you want to belong to him, you want to give yourself to him, you want to surrender your life to him, you want to commit yourself to him without any reservation. Lord, my life is yours. Then I want to give you an opportunity today to receive the assurance of knowing that you belong to Him. I'm going to give you some special, simple words to say. And if you'll say them with all of your heart, they will change your life forever. You will never be the same today, nor going forward. So I want to speak it out loud. Speak it out loud enough so you can even hear yourself. And in that, I want us all to join in this. Because I believe it's a confession of our hearts, of our lives, and our lives are His fully to the uttermost. So if you have a question in your mind, do I really belong to Jesus? If you're asking that question to yourself, there's a good chance you don't belong to Him. And I want you to pray this prayer with me in faith. And I believe your life is going to be changed forever. So I want everybody to read this, say this out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God. And the only way to God. That you died on the cross for my sins. You were buried and you rose again the third day. And now all heaven, now all authority, and now all authority in heaven and on earth is given to you, Jesus. And because of what you did for me on the cross, when you bore my sins and paid my penalty, on that basis, I ask you now to forgive. Forgive me of all my sins. And to cleanse me in my heart from all unrighteousness. And I commit my life to you now. That you may be my Lord and my Savior. That I may belong to you now and throughout eternity. Lord Jesus, because of your mercy and because of your promises, I believe that you now receive me, and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, as we end the service today, if you prayed that prayer from your heart for the first time, I want you to come forward at the end of the service, and I want to be able to pray with you. Because I want to bless you as one who has been welcomed into the family of God. I want to receive you in love as Christ receives you, and I want you to know that you're a part of a family now. So if you prayed that prayer with your heart in full faith and assurance for the first time, I want you to come see me after the service. So let's stand. Kristen has a word here she wants to share.
Thanks. I believe the Lord wants to restore hope this morning. This is from Revelation. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Amen.
Amen.
You see, our hope is not empty. We have a living hope, and his name is Jesus. So if anybody has places where it feels hopeless, I just want to remind you, beloved, that Jesus is coming, and our hope is not empty because the tomb is.
Amen. 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 If I could ask some of the prayer team come on up, and if we can... If there's an aspect of your life where you need to have your hope renewed and strengthened and encouraged, today is a day. And I want you to come forward and get some prayer. And if today, if you prayed that prayer with me for the first time, I also want you to come forward and let us pray with you. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for this glorious Resurrection Sunday. For we declare that he is risen. Risen indeed. And Father, I pray this day that you would bless and keep each and every one. The Lord, you would make your face shine upon each and every one and be gracious to everyone. And Lord, lift up your countenance upon everyone here and give them your shalom peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our conquering King. And we thank you, Lord. And everybody said... Amen. Give somebody a big hug. Let's celebrate.